modern newspaper for a visual world.
Thank you. Hello, buglers! Do you respond like that whenever anyone says hello to you? Welcome to The Bugle Live, the three-dimensional version of the zero-dimensional podcast. This week, we are live from the International Criminal Court in The Hague, in front of an audience of the world's baddest international criminals. Foom, I have some very bad news. Crime has been banned. You're all going to have to get real jobs. Some of the above may not have been true. We are, in fact, live from the Okavango Delta in Botswana for the world's largest ever gathering of professional pantomime zebras. Release the lions! So I'm going to have to drink my truth potion. We are, in fact, live at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas for 12 rounds of fist fighting between Andy Zaltzman and Thor, the Norse god of... I need more. We are at the Newtown Theatre in Edinburgh. There we go, we're in. So, let me just plug this in. We are in the Newtown Theatre in Edinburgh. This place has really changed in the last 50,000 years, believe me. And it's about to change some more, Edinburgh, because you're about to get a new bridge. Ooh, some bridge fans in the Queen's Ferry crossing opening to traffic next week. You can feel the excitement in the air here in Edinburgh. I'm Jewish, of course. We don't need bridges. We just wait for some dude to part the waters for us and stroll across. But you Scots, obviously not quite as chosen by God as my team, so... You need a bridge. It's a cable stayed structure, the new Queen's Ferry crossing, with three towers, each 207 metres high. The overall length of the bridge, 1.7 miles, making it the longest triple tower cable stayed bridge in the universe! Although the length of its main span at 650 metres, only good enough to sneak into the top 20. Disappointing. Its overall length, 1,744 metres to be precise. Enough to put it fourth in the longest cable-stayed bridges in the world. Just off the podium, sadly, but I reckon one of the top three will probably fail a drugs test at some point. My money is on the Rio Antirio Bridge in Greece, currently in silver medal position. But after Kenteris and Thanou in 2004, I don't trust the Greeks, especially when they're running 200 metres very fast or crossing the sea. We are recording this on the 27th of August 2017, making this, the anniversary of the day in the year 410 in which the Visigoths sacked Rome. It took 3 days and they finished. I mean, just proves Rome has always been a great place for a long weekend. I assume they just ran out of ice cream. 1883 on this day, the eruption of Krakatoa. Enormous explosions destroyed the island of Krakatoa and caused years of climate change. So what is the point in me recycling my tin cans if the homosexuals are going to keep causing volcanoes like they did at Krakatoa? Sorry, I've got to stop reading Christian Looney Monthly magazine. It caused a global drop in temperatures for several years, Krakatoa. So we have a moral duty to do global warming, or we're letting the volcanoes win. 1896, the Anglo-Zanzibar War took place on this very day. The shortest war in global history at 38 minutes. that was an away win for Britain. Still waiting for Zanzibar to pluck up the balls for the second leg on British soil. Good luck with that, you alphabet straggling losers. Maybe a bit rich coming from me, I acknowledge that. And 1928 was the signing on this day of the Kellogg-Briand Pact, which outlawed all war in 1928. That worked well. That worked extremely well, as well as the famous Egyptian No Pointy Mausoleums Accord of 2700 BC. There's a little pyramid joke for any pyramid fans in. As always, a section of this podcast is going straight. Testify, sisters. This is 2017. We are at the Edinburgh Fringe, and it's 70 years since the first Edinburgh Festival, the first Edinburgh Fringe. 1947, was anyone there? apparently Bertie Stripes, who won the Best Newcomer Award that year, has just finished paying off his agents for the cost of his run there. Of course, it shows the power of comedy. The Fringe began in 1947 at a time when Europe had been scarred by two world wars in the previous 3.5 decades. Since then, zero more world wars. Who says comedy has no broader impact? Obviously, it did contribute to the rise of Islamic fundamentalism and the African famine of the mid-1980s, but on balance, the Fringe is still up. And announced this week was the funniest joke of the Fringe Award for this year. And we look back in the section of the bin on the funniest joke of the 1947 Fringe. Here is the full shortlist. What's brown and sticky? A rotting apple, which is all we've got left at the end of a week of rationing. What's black and white and red all over? A map of Eastern Europe printed in a newspaper after the Soviet Union's post-war power grab. Also nominated, my dog has no nose. Yeah, well, my house has no roof. We all suffered in the Blitz, mate. And completing the four-gag shortlist, Doctor, Doctor, I feel like a pair of curtains. Well, that's classic post-traumatic stress disorder resulting from you having been incarcerated in a Japanese POW camp in Burma for 3 years. What do you mean, Doctor? What's post-traumatic stress disorder? What the hell is that? Oh, it's a condition often suffered by combat veterans. Bullshit, Doctor. That condition will not be labelled post-traumatic stress disorder until 1978. Good point. My mistake. So then, Doc, I repeat my question. I feel like a pair of curtains. Tough luck. Sing a hymn or wave a flag or something. I said I feel like a pair of curtains. What should I do? I won't be drawn on that. No, it's not that. No. No, I feel like a pair of curtains. Well, maybe open yourself up. It's the 1940s. I keep it bottled up inside, mate. I'm British. I feel like a pair of curtains. What, are you suffering from blackouts? What, you know, because of the blackout... Pull myself together! You should be telling me to pull myself together, Doc. Let's go again. Doctor, Doctor, I feel like a pair of curtains. Yeah, well, I'm a bit peckish too, mate. And if the only option is powdered eggs or a pair of curtains, I'd probably choose the pair of curtains as well. Patient, patient, I feel like a slap-up roast dinner. Frankly, Doctor, this service is f***ing appalling. Is this what I pay my taxes for? No, not yet. The National Health Service does not formally come into existence until next year. Thank you. You had to be there. It's time now to meet our two guests for this week's Live Bugle. Are you ready to meet our guests? Oh, good, because that would have been very awkward otherwise. Firstly, all the way from the world's southernmost hemisphere, a man who has not only come up snake eyes yet again at the Nobel Peace Prize this year, the warmongering Australian bastard. Only time for winners on this podcast. Actually, that's not strictly true. Generally, when people start winning things, they get fired. Anyway, but please welcome the wonderful Tom Ballard! Hello, Tom.
Hello, Andy. Hello, everyone. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Tom.
Oh, I should point out, Chris, producer Chris, is in the building, like the Elvis Presley impersonator that he is. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Andy. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
Thank you for letting me stay in your flat last night.
Oh, right.
Ooh!
it's a sensational. He slept on the sofa. That's the way this podcast rolls. How's the Fringe been for you, Tom?
It's been lovely, thank you. I've had a lovely time. I've had a man fall asleep in my show twice.
What? The same guy?
The same guy.
Did he sleep twice in different portions of the show so he got the whole of it in two goes?
No, he didn't come twice.
Oh, right.
I'd fall asleep both times. That would be dedication to heckling.
He had two snoozes in one show.
Two snoozes. I saw him sleeping in the front row. I made fun of him. Everyone laughed at him, and I was crowned a god of comedy. And then 20 minutes later, he was f***ing nodding off again. So that says something about my act. And one night there were five men in black suits in the front row, and I just want to ignore them. I thought there's something bad about that. And then eventually I asked them what's going on. And they all worked at a restaurant, and their head chef had just died, and they'd come directly from the funeral. So I, to quote them, better be f***ing funny, pal. And then, as a tribute to their fallen colleague, I died on my ass for 40 minutes. It was good.
Next up, completing easily the tallest bugle lineup in the history of the universe, it's comedian, history aficionado, the man who is to drum kits what Donald Trump is to horrifically chilling statements, in that he makes them. He genuinely owns a drum kit making business. My former host of the wrongly cancelled smash hit radio show, 7 day, whatever day of the weekend the BBC had to space it on the radio. Weighing in at none of your business, he's not a piece of meat, it's Al Murray! Yeah.
Hi, Andy.
Hello, Al.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. These are your people, aren't they? This is beautiful. People actually f***ing listen to this thing.
You've known me too long, Al. No, that's,
I thought it was a bot farm in Sri Lanka, just clicking, clicking, clicking.
It's my target demographic. That's where the big bucks are in global comedy. So obviously a big part of coming to the Fringe is getting reviewed by publications. I've got a few of our reviews here. My show, Satirist for Hire, was described by Hard House Enthusiast Monthly. 1 star, very disappointing. Nothing in it for the Hard House fan. He just stood on stage and talked. No Hard House beats laid down whatsoever. Tom's show, what was it called again?
Problematic,
that's it.
I believe the review was
described as very different to Schindler's List and also different to The Laughing Cavalier, the 1624 painting by Franz Hals. That was from Pointless Comparison magazine.
Weird, they loved me last year.
Al's show, described by Gratuitous Violence Weekly as easily Murray's most violent, bloodthirsty ending. Pity the poor people sitting in the front row of his shows. Shit, I shouldn't have given that away these days. I got reviewed again by today's middle-class, white, privately educated, lapsed Jewish, 40-something, vaguely lefty, sport-obsessed man magazine. At last, someone talking our language. The Daily Mail, why is the government cancelling Brexit? And One Too Many Examples magazine said, we particularly love the bit in the Bugle live show where Andy made up pretend reviews of shows. Thank you. Anyway, right.
It's good how he writes all this down, isn't it?
Chris, are you ready with a jingle? Of course he is. He was born with jingles in his soul. Mr. Bojingles, he's known as. Top story this week, nutty leaders of the week. We're going to have a competition, ladies and gentlemen, to find out the world's loopiest leader. Now, the Earth, of course, has proven over and over again through its illustrious industry-leading career as a planet that the one thing you will never take away from us is our unique ability to put fucking lunatics in positions of massive fucking responsibility. It's one of our defining features from your Caligulas and your Empresses, Wus, Zetians in your ancient worlds to the hypernaughty megadicks of the 20th century. And which I think is probably a nice way of just condensing.
Hypernaughty megadicks is a terrible condition and please go see your doctor if you see any signs.
So you were the drummer in the hypernaughty megadicks at that point.
I prefer our early stuff.
Less loud and bangy. But who is top of the always competitive world's looniest leader chart this week? We've got 5 nominations, got the winner in here. You be the judge, ladies and gentlemen, from these 5 shortlisted candidates. Candidate 1, all the way from Chechnya, Ramzan Kadyrov. So are you Kadyrov fans?
Well, Chechnya, it's like one of those sort of if Chechnya didn't exist, it would be a Marvel Films country that Thor has to that Thor has to scoop up the leader's palace with his with Mjolnir and toss into the sun. Right? It's like it's run by Doctor Doom. It's fantastic.
I think it's fair to say that Chechnya has not won too many prizes for most relaxing place to live over the past few centuries or so, what with it having been a pawn in Russian power games since the early 18th century and a hotbed of insurrection ever since the collapse of the Soviet Union. Not to mention the fact that the people who come from there are named after the sound of a cocking rifle. Chechen. That can't help. Now, nail the dismount. Now, Kadyrov has been on particularly spectacular form this week because he has basically said that he's basically forcing separated couples to reunite because apparently divorce is the root of Chechen society's many problems rather than, for example, history or him. he's going for divorce, as the, which is a curious way to go about... About fixing...
This is chilling, though.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea that... I mean, I'm divorced.
All right, mate. We've all got stuff going on.
But if I know, but whatever he wants me to do, rather than this, I'll f***ing do it.
Now we'll start working at the camps, as long as I don't get back with her.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever you want, I'm in.
Now, I mean, I'm not a marriage guidance counsellor, as my friend, thrice-divorced Mike, can vehemently testify. Mike, you need to show her you really love her. Really, Andy? And how should I do that? Buy her an abattoir. She's a vegan, Andy. Yes, but keeping the flames of romance alive is all about surprise. Okay, Mike, you need a display of commitment, a grand everlasting gesture. Okay, Andy, any suggestions? Yes, get a tattoo of her face done on your face. Anyway, but if you need a threat from a despot to keep your relationship together, surely those are some... You know, you've got probably issues as a couple that are going to be hard to resolve, aren't they?
Nothing says romance like government mandates. I knew we were going to be together when I got a letter from the government saying we are destined to be together. But they set up a commission to oversee the enforcement of the policy, and it's called the Council for Harmonising Marriage and Family Relations, which is just one of the nicknames I have for my dick. And and then they've set up this hotline. Apparently separations and divorces are being reported on a hotline, which I assume is being staffed by your Auntie Margaret.
Okay, I've got a despot's quiz for you now.
Okay.
About question one. This one's for you, Al. Ramzan Kadyrov's rule has been characterised by which classic combination of despotic hobbies? Is it A, an incorrigible love of free and open political debate, massive amounts of state funding for the arts, and a fanatical devotion to LGBT rights? Was it B, macrame, pitch and putt golf, zumba, line dancing and bagpuss? Or was it C, high-level corruption, a terrible human rights record, and a growing cult of personality?
It's tricky, isn't it? I think I'm going to... What do we think in the room? B? It's B, definitely.
B? Yes, correct, it is B. He absolutely loves all work by Oliver Postgate. Candidate two, President Buhari of Nigeria. He's been on sick leave for all but 3 months of the past year, but says he now can't return to work in his office because the rats have eaten his office. Now, as excuses go, this is spectacular, isn't it? There's a rat eating a bit of an office that used to be a desk. Or maybe it's a filing cabinet, I don't know.
That rat looks like it's on pills. Look at it, it's very... Oh, it's kicking in, man.
Chris, is that actually a rat? That looks like a non-rat to me.
I googled rat office, and that's right. What came up.
That's the... What a sitcom that was. I mean, it was really comedy of awkwardness rather than laugh out loud jokes. But anyway, look.
And the Peabody Award goes to...
Anyway, it's kind of along the kind of dog ate my homework style of.
I think he's onto something. If you're going to lie, what you have to do is base it on truth, And I saw a mouse once by my telly, and I couldn't watch the telly for 10 minutes. So there's something in this.
That is
seriously funny. This mouse ran out, and it was really unsettling. And the only thing I had to hand was my iPad, and I nearly threw my iPad at the mouse.
Right.
So, I didn't. Right. The story hasn't got like a funny bit in it.
Right. But so you're saying a mouse was near your telly, and therefore you think rats could eat a president's office? This is the kind of logical thinking that got us into Brexit, isn't it?
tiny rodent around electrical equipment, puts me off.
I don't know, people are saying, it's a made-up story, but I got an email from the Prince of Nigeria, and he told me that this is absolutely true, and he's asked me to transfer $10,000 to $20,000 into his bank account to deal with de-infestation costs. De-infestation? Oh, God, I'm hungover.
He's been very ill, and his spokesman said there's nothing at all to worry about. He is energetic, well-focused, and it is clear he is enjoying excellent health. Let me just put that through my early 1980s Soviet Union translation software. Buhari is medically dead. There we go. Let's move on to candidate 3, Kim Jong-un. Oh, we got the fans in. It's really brand recognition rather than actual popularity, but it works with soft drinks and trainers, so why not with world leaders?
Now, that is a happy dictator there.
he's loving it. I mean, my view of Kim Jong-un, I see him very much like I see the dubstep DJ Skrillex. In that, not really my thing, don't really understand it, don't get his choice in haircuts, but unquestionably, he's very good at what he does. You know, for Skrillex, it's, dubstep and electronica. Is that correct?
Yesterday, Andy said, I've got a joke about DJ Skrillex. And I said, no one calls him DJ Skrillex.
Listen.
Fight back starts now.
I'm a cricket fan. I use people's full initials. That's just the way scorecards go. For Kim Jong-un, he's obviously very good at keeping an entire nation in poverty, ignorance and fear. Classic communist dictator triathlon. On balance, I have to say... what the f*** is that, Chris?
I just Googled Kim smiling. All right.
And what is that? Is that like what used to be his uncle's? For listeners at home, that is him watching over a machine that's supposed to be squirting out what may be baby food. What do you reckon is?
Earwax.
I mean, never say never with Kim. Probably the world record-breaking collection of earwax to go with his granddad's brilliance on the golf course.
The other guy in the photo isn't too happy about it at all. He looks very miserable. He's next.
Yeah, that's what happened to his colleague. I think on balance, I prefer Skrillex to Kim Jong-un. But if they ever collaborate, what a parade that will be. Awesome. So Kim has just... he's fired 3 missiles into the sea this
Fair
week.
Enough.
Yeah.
I don't like the sea. It's cold.
Don't victim blame the Pacific Ocean.
It's cold, grey, implacable. It'll swallow you up. No one would ever even know you died in it.
Yeah.
F*** the sea.
It's about time someone took that down a peg or two. Let's have some justice.
It's got crabs in it. It's got seals in it, which are nothing more than souped-up otters. Right?
Testify! You speak the truth.
F*** the sea.
You gotta feel so...
Truth to power, right there. The sea has one function, which is keeping David Attenborough in work. And he can't have long left. Oh, come on!
Yeah. He's going to be executed. He's a disgrace to this country. Made an entire career out of zebra snuff movies and hardcore insect porn. Filth. Utter filth.
This used to be such a nice show. You gotta feel sorry for the fish in the sea. Like, they'd just be swimming along and they're just. Be like, oh, what did we do?
Fish want to be deep fried. That's their best condition, deep fried, right? So he's doing the fish a favour and he's taking it to the sea.
What?
Was he like Poseidon? Neptune, whatever your name is.
That's an obvious tax dodge, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got different oceans under different names.
And the number of offshore accounts.
Yay! Oh, Lordy.
He can do them spontaneously as well.
Let's move on to candidate four, Donald Trump. Always your friend and mine, always in the running. There he is once again playing his darts. America used to not feature that high in the global loonies scale, but he's really laying down some serious funk.
Yeah. It's almost impossible to say anything about him, isn't it? Because he's outmaneuvering even you.
Yeah. What, in bullshit terms?
Yes.
I mean, I like to think we're raising each other's games. Yeah, it's like Carl Lewis and Mike Powell in the 1991 World Long Jump Final.
My favourite picture of his hair is the one with the from here when he's in St Andrews and the guy had the balloon. Have you seen that picture?
No.
Someone got a staticky balloon and put it over his head. Google Donald Trump static hair or something like that. It's brilliant.
That was fake physics.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't real. Now, one of... he's lost another one of his key team of Mr. Gawker.
No, I believe he's moving on to be a in the private sector.
Team of course, it's going to be the big selling sequel to Game of Thrones. So Gawker's... I mean, is there anyone left now from Trump's the support? They're pulling out all the support loonies from underneath. So it's going to be like a Wile E. Coyote.
Like when the Sinister Six fall out with each other, when Electro tells the Scorpion that he's no longer interested in working together, and then the Rhino...
This is...
No.
The Rhino and Venom fall out.
With all due respect, Al, what the f*** are you talking about?
The Sinister Six.
Who are they?
Talk about cricket statistics from the 60s like a normal person.
Yeah, they're from my reality, Andy, and right. I've arrived in yours. Where this Donald Trump bloke's president, which seems pretty unlikely.
Yeah, yeah.
No, Gawker, I mean, the thing about him is he's sort of the political equivalent of that minicab driver who ended up on the news on the BBC. You know, what the f*** was he doing there? And who even is he? And what? And... And that's about it, basically. I don't really have anything sensible to say about him because we shouldn't dignify him with your blade of satire.
Well, Trump was a big fan, apparently. He said that Axios reported that Trump raved about Gawker's performances, telling colleagues he had no idea what Gawker actually did, but loved him on TV. So in Trump eyes, Gawker's like Kim Kardashian. It's like, I don't know what he does, but I just like the vibe.
Well, that is how America voted last November, basically, yeah. Isn't it? That is the exact rationale behind the people of America speaking, by which I mean the people of America saying, we prefer Hillary, but in a geographically inconvenient way. So we should we're going to talk a bit about the pardoning Joe Arpaio. Yeah. The sheriff.
Well, he's a controversial sheriff, isn't he?
Yeah, right, the best kind of sheriff. But,
well, in the news, used in the news environment, the word controversial means f***ing massive shitlord. Right? Normally, controversial means like pineapple on pizza. That's a controversy.
That is globalisation gone mad. Let me say that. There's no place for that.
But look at it. Yeah. He's the racial profiling guy, isn't he?
Yes. That doesn't narrow him down in America, does it?
Well, he looks the type.
What?
No,
It was crazy that, like, he was charged with contempt of court, which is what Trump pardoned him for. But, like, back in the 90s and stuff, the way he instituted justice was nuts. He reintroduced chain gangs in Arizona, like, brought that shit back.
Right, because they've had a bit of a... Well, a checkered reputation from history, haven't they? Yeah, they may quote the Global Society for Massive Understatements.
They increased coordination amongst prisoners. I don't know. But that's also, that's like bringing back people in the stocks and throwing rotten fruit, which I think, you know.
But we've got the Edinburgh Fringe for that.
Yeah.
2 stars, Broadway baby.
Not enough cantaloupes. Right, we need to crack on with next story. Chris, jingle. Weak beer news now. Owl is the Bugle's official beer correspondent.
Yes, this is news from the front line of binge drinking booze Britain. The country's not as pissed as it thinks it is. Carling Black Label, Carling, formerly Carling Black Label, I bet he drinks Carling Black Label, remember that, the Dan Busters advert, which made light of this horrific f***ing event.
It's the British way.
Of course. Well, they started it. It's been caught with... Carling Black Label has been caught with its alcoholic trousers down like a reveller caught short on a Friday night behind a skip. Because Carling is in fact not 4% strength as advertised, but is in fact, right, which is too strong to be a session beer, too weak as to wreck you right off, right? It's actually been brewed at 3.7% all along.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. Now, yes, of course, so Carling's a beer no one admits to drinking that lots of people drink. Right, but they're not as pissed as they thought they were. And the reason they've done this, is it out of concern for their drinkers? Is it for the good of the country's moral constitution? No. It's a tax dodge. Coors have done it so they pay less duty on the Carling Black, on the Carling, because right, it's 3.7%, not 4%, and they claim they're not misleading drinkers.
Right.
If you can't trust the most basic, ordinary lager, what can you trust? This is my Watergate moment. This is my parallax view, glimpse through the fucking matrix moment. Beer isn't what it says it is.
So not only have you been 10% less drunk than you thought.
Yes.
But also simultaneously underfunding public services all the time. So basically every time anyone here has been drinking Carling, you've been shutting down schools and hospitals. I hope you're pleased with yourself. Tom, you are the official dog excrement correspondent for the Bugle. What have you got for us this week?
Yeah, I mean, finally I've got a story. It's a very niche brief I have. Social justice poo news. Right-wing outfit Protest Prayer have cancelled their free speech rally, in quotes, in San Francisco this weekend after hundreds of counter-protesters promised to cover the park where the rally was going to take place in dog poo. Some people declare their intention to stockpile their dog's plops for days in advance and then deliver them in bags for the site. It was too much for the neo-Nazis and they cancelled the rally. And truly, Andy, this was an example of poo-poo power.
And, hey!
I mean, it really, really is a blow to the fast shits. If the rally had gone ahead, there'd certainly be brown shirts. Hitler, more like Shitler. White supremacists, more like shite supremacists. Ironically, if left out in the sun, the little protest logs would eventually turn white. Not a pun, still hilarious. But seriously, hopefully after this, we see the number of those white supremacists, they'll be droppings. And... all in all, I think we could say the good people of San Francisco show that they're for the many, not the poo. Thank you. Is it too late for me to get the award?
Andy, your next show starts in 19 minutes.
Oh, right. Okay. So, by the way, is anyone...
No, it doesn't.
Is anyone... Is anyone here coming to that show?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So.
Well, let's just do it right here.
Can Andy get a lift?
So, let's move on to the very always funny story of net migration statistics.
Net migration statistics.
So, net migration has fallen to the lowest level for 3 years after a surge in EU nationals fleeing the UK after off everyone else votes.
Yeah, well, when I ran for Parliament 2 years ago on behalf of the EU SSR Zio Con Lib Lab Blonde BBC establishment paid for by EU gold, right, for my cousin David Cameron, this is why I did it. A gag we did at the time was people are coming to this great country because it is a great country. Leave it with me to sort this out. Right? Now, far be it for me on a bugle to suggest that satire has any actual power. But Stomy, I was right. It's f***ing worked.
But it's very distressing from a British point of view that all these skilled people are leaving, and we may have to invest in our own national future at some point. And that is emphatically not what being British is all about. It's all about stealing other countries' futures ready-made. That's what we've based this nation on.
Pretty soon the whole of the UK is just going to be like Edinburgh the day after the Fringe finishes. Yes, it'll be quieter, you'll have more control, but you'll have a dearth of Swedish jugglers. Is that a price you're prepared to pay?
There's a story that the Home Office has been holding back figures on students who overstay their visa. And previously they were saying it was 100,000 students overstayed on their visa, and that was being added to the net migration figure. But it since turns out it's 4,000. Not 100,000, it's 4,000. Now, but this is a thing. I can't remember who the Home Secretary was 18 months ago. Someone. Another. Oh! That's the one. Now, I don't know, because she's always hung on to this. May has always hung on to this as the thing that she wants to stop, is this student figure, that the students can't be. Anyway, I can't explain it. I think, I know it's too much for some people, this particular truth bomb smashing the establishment. So he can't even find a way out. He's so disoriented with the truth cascading down on him like
a... He's trying to make it the Andy show.
But I mean, where does May's antipathy to foreign students come from? I think she must have worked in a shop when she was 17, and 20 French exchange students in cagoules came in, stole all the pick and mix, and said, "F*** off roast beef."
Yeah. Well, in fact, I mean, that's a bit from her autobiography. It says this: "I used to work in a shop, and two French students came in and said, off roast beef." I mean, technically, I was just echoing her getting numbers wrong. I thought structurally that was a sound joke, but.
It's not that big a mistake, is it? It's 95,000 students. Like, when? That's not important. No one's ever been like, "Oh, we don't have 95,000 students to do something. How will we possibly cope?" They're students. Get a job, hippies.
That's a good point, well made.
Thank you.
I mean, I think what this all indicates is that May is some sort of universal Uatu the Watcher-style genius. Right?
Uatu the Watcher.
Yes! Uatu the Watcher.
Right.
Who simply watches what happens in the universe and doesn't interfere with
really?
It. Right? There's people
That's
who know exactly
shit
what
superhero,
I'm talking
that,
about.
Isn't it?
No, he's not a superhero. He's,
oh,
one
right.
he's one of the Watchers.
Oh, right, okay.
He lives on the moon.
Right.
And they very
dabbles as a line judge in tennis.
Yeah, very... Yes. They're not allowed to interfere in human affairs.
Does the pub landlord audience know that you're a f***ing nerdo?
I do everything to hide it. It's like she's on a mission to drive the Tory party into the ground. She's wrecked them in an election. I don't know, who's she doing this for, though? I mean, is it the Cree? The Chitauri? Is it the Inhumans? Who is it? I guess we may never know.
Well, we need to move on to the regular part of the live bugles. So we have, about 5 minutes left of the gig, I think?
Four
minutes left of the gig. I'm going to have to edit those puns down.
You, Chris!
The audience question and answer session. So, Al, Tom, have you got any questions for the audience?
Which statues would you like to see torn down, as is the vogue currently?
Chris, pick someone to answer that question on behalf of everyone else.
Bill Shankly's statue at Anfield, because it should be outside Westminster.
The Bill Shankly statue
at Anfield.
Where he was the Liverpool football manager. It should be outside Westminster because he managed the Conservative Party football team in the 1980s.
Because of his socialist values.
Oh, I see, his socialist...
Everton fan.
Socialist values.
That's not going to happen, let's be honest.
Is it a socialist value to score more goals than... Surely socialist value would just be to draw all your matches.
Nil-nil.
Tom, have you got a question for the audience?
Did anyone see my show?
Right. So I need to finish that. That's gone. That's gone. Here we are. So I can't do a live show without puns. Or maybe Tom's puns will do. Do you want to?
No.
We'll finish with. Because the best show I saw this year was a blues music show, and I remember when I first got into the blues.
Strap in, everybody.
There's some chairs there if you need them, guys, or a desk if you just want to sit with your head in your hands. I remember when I first got into the blues, I got invited to an evening of blues and First World War photography. I was looking at some pictures of the Battle of Passchendaele. Sparked up a conversation with someone. Look at those conditions. It must have never stopped raining. Yup, he replied. It was a muddy war, sir, to say the least. Muddy war, to say the least. Anyway, my old don't copy my jokes. Right. My old podcast partner was with me, but he was sitting in the corner listening to the music.
That's
smoking
bullshit.
flavoured tobacco out of one of those big Persian-style pipes. I wanted him to stop. I said, John, leave Hooker. Here's the... That's the... What is that? Is that the sequel to Rodin's The Thinker, realising, oh, it is that bad? for those listening at home, Chris is doing his... Will you put the pictures up on the Twitter feed again? Or on the Facebook?
With pleasure.
Page? Excellent. John was with his newscaster buddy, Mr. Blitzer. Blitzer started banging on about his conspiracy theory that top blues singers were all working for the KGB in the 1950s. They're linked to Moscow, I'm sure of it, he said. I replied, how linked, Wolf? How linked, Wolf? Anyway, he got furious and physically attacked me. So this is not my best. It's not my best side. My best jokes. Sorry. Anyway, he got furious and physically attacked me. He was sticking his stomach out. He led belly first. Hey. Anyway, I stayed with. I stayed with John in New York. He has a little baby boy. But I think his little baby was trying to steal my laptop. He's only a baby, but I really think he might grow up to be a robber, John's son. Oh, what? Come on! Robert Johnson! Godfather of the blues.
He said robber.
I know, but you have to suspend critical faculties.
Taste whatsoever?
John, of course, he has to control his nerves with alcohol and drugs. He used to drink a popular American beer and then take a tab of ecstasy. He was a Bud E guy. But he's obviously doing pretty well now, John. He's a bit better off, than I am financially. He's a little richer than me. I don't take that well, though. Sometimes go to his gigs and throw fruit at him. In fact, I once chucked berries at him. Anyway, I had another friend. He picked up an STD, caused a horrible burning sensation in his, anyway, he said to me, it's my Willy Dick's on fire. I mean, Willy Dixon is maybe a niche. Anyway, f*** you. I had to take a break. Went to France for a fortnight to relax. To keep my anonymity, I used to wear big fake pelican's bills. I had six of these beaks labelled A through to E with the oldest first, but the airline lost the oldest four of them en route. But I still enjoyed myself, though. I called it my Bill E holiday. Right. And, do you know...
Please explain.
And finally,
no one believes you.
I was expecting a round of applause there. Usually when I do those jokes, the crowd clap and then clap some more. Last time I did it, they clapped on. There you go. That is the end, buglers. That standing ovation is correct. Thank you to Al Murray, to Tom Ballard. I have to run to another gig. Thank you for coming, buglers. Good afternoon. See some of you at the stand in 6 minutes. Bye.